Welcome to the Urban Mission Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Urban Mission and other resources, visit urbanmissionjc.com.
Good morning, everyone. Y'all have to pray for me this morning. I'm struggling with a similar sinus issue as Pastor, and last night I got up and took the wrong medicine. I took the nighttime one instead of the daytime one, which you think would be a good idea at night, but not for me. I do not process meds well. It takes me quite some time to come out of the stupor, so I'm a little groggy this morning. We're going to rely on Holy Spirit more than ever to just help me get the words out. So I just wanted to start with a little something I think, and I don't know, I ran down to the bathroom, maybe Pastor Dave mentioned it, but I feel like something happened this week that should bring us hope, and it's a testimony to what God is doing. And I just want to talk about it a little bit, and that was the election of the Speaker of the House. You know, we have been hearing prophetic words about how God has people hidden in obscure places, and he's about to set them into place. And to me, Mike Johnson is an obscure person. Did anybody know about him before last week? I certainly didn't. And, you know, I thought, oh, the other guy, Jim Jordan, was the guy for us. But God had such a better plan. If you listen to what's going on, like, he is a believer. He is not shy. They're praying on the floor of the House of Representatives now together. And his plan is God's plan. So we want to just say thank you, Lord, because he... You know, sometimes we look at what's going on and we think it's hopeless, but it's never hopeless. God has people in obscurity that he is preparing for such a time as this, and he has kissed us with this answer to prayer. So I just wanted to start with that and move on to my message, if I can get to that point. I don't know what I'm doing here. Okay, here we go. I want to read out of Mark 1, 14 to 20 in the NLT. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once, and some versions say immediately, and followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat preparing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired men. So a lot of times we hear this passage, and we relate it to salvation, following Jesus. But I want to say to you that follow me is a lifetime adventure. It's not a one-time commitment. Yes, we make that initial commitment to follow the Lord, but then we have many, many pivotal places along our journey where we get to make decisions. Am I going to follow him here? Am I going to follow him there? Am I going to go where he's leading me? Or am I going to stay where I'm comfortable? This scripture to me is an ongoing invitation from Jesus to every believer for us to step into the fullness of his plan for our lives. We believe here that God has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. And I also believe that we get to choose whether we're going to fulfill our plan or purpose. Not that we're not saved, but we get to choose whether we're going to step into all that God has for us or we're only going to take a measure of it. And sometimes it's so much easier to take the measure. Think about, you know, I was thinking about these four disciples here. Andrew, Simon and Andrew and James and John. They're going about their everyday life. At this point, we don't even know if they knew who Jesus was. They may have heard some gossip in the community because Jesus was just starting at this point his ministry. He had just come out of the wilderness. He had been baptized, went into the wilderness, came out of the wilderness, and walked down the the beach and called these four disciples, how much did they know about him? And you think about it from their perspective, what made them drop everything and immediately follow him? What compelled them to do that? What compels us to follow Jesus? Have you ever had the feeling that you just had to do something, even though you didn't really know where it was going to take you or what the end result would be? Did God ever drop something in your heart that you knew, I know that I have to do this thing, but I'm not sure why? It could be as simple as showing up at someone's door with a casserole unexpectedly, and then you find out they had nothing to eat for dinner that night. When God puts something, if you are sensitive to the Spirit, God could drop these things into your heart and you could change people's lives with simple gestures. But this wasn't a simple gesture. These four men made a decision that day to walk away from their livelihood, from what they've known their whole lives, from their families, from their old father. It was a big decision made immediately. They were not expecting it. You know, I would say oftentimes when God shows up and asks us to do something, it's like this, in the moment. Those big things are in the moment. We have no preparation for it. And he's like, are you going to do it? And then we have to be sure that we're here in the Lord, because when we start getting in our heads, we could talk ourselves out of anything. I've done it, I know, so many times. But I also know when he calls us to do something like that, I don't have peace unless I do it. We can easily ignore the peace part, but I know if I follow after peace, I'm going to be in his will. We've had, over our years together, so many different experiences like that. Right now I'm thinking about the time when the Lord started a prayer meeting in our house. We thought it was a one-night event. And it was a horrible weather day that day. And our house had just been, it wasn't the house we're in now, but it was in the house we were in before this. And we had a lot of construction done, and it had just finished that week. And still the steps, the front, you couldn't use the front steps. So everybody had to walk along the side of the house through some mud to get into our house and come in the sideway. And I was like pacing in my house, Lord, is this really you? If the weather's terrible, what if something happens to someone? What, like, God, the enemy really gets in your head. And so it took me a good hour before I convinced myself, all right, let me call one person. First, I got the permission of my pastor. Then I called one person and said, we're going to have a prayer meeting tonight. I really feel like the Lord wants us to do that. 42 people showed up at our home that night, and it didn't end for 2.5 years. God showed up in such a powerful way. But if we hadn't been obedient to that nudge from the Lord, you know, I didn't have peace about not doing it. So I literally asked my husband, I was pacing, and he's like, what is going on? I'm like, I don't know. I think we have to do this, and I don't know if we should do it. And they canceled church. Why would I then hold a meeting in the evening because of the weather? But God knew what he was doing. And the same thing happened when he uprooted us from where we were and brought us here into Jersey City over 20 years ago. And that was a hard thing. But we had to make a decision. And the decision was to follow the Lord. He calls us to follow him. I think James, John, Andrew, and Peter, Andrew and Simon, they heard from the Lord more than they realized, because in that moment they knew that they knew. And that's really how I follow after the Lord, because he will give me this, I know that I know in my spirit that it's him. And when we get that know that I know, it doesn't matter even what our father wants, old man Zebedee. It doesn't matter what the culture says. It doesn't matter, because we know that this is where God wants us to be. I have to tell you, though, that if the Lord had shown up to me on the beach that day, I would have had a lot of questions. Wouldn't you? Like, where are we going? What is this going to cost me? What should I bring? How do we get there? Do you have a map? Do you have a plan? And what about my family? And how are you going to take care of them? Like, think about all the things that would have gone through your mind if the Lord showed up on the beach and said, come follow me. But it says they immediately dropped everything. They dropped their families. They dropped their commitments. They dropped their business. They walked away from their dad. That's huge. They became very vulnerable. And you know, when we become vulnerable with the Lord, it becomes imperative for us to lean into him for every step. You know, he doesn't always give us the full picture. He just gives it to us step by step. And I would have to say, these guys may not have signed up had they known the full picture. I'll tell you, I wouldn't have signed up for that prayer meeting in my house if I knew that every Sunday night for 2.5 years, I would not have a Sunday to myself. But God gave us grace for it in that season, and he gave it to us step by step. Never did we expect that. Same with coming to Jersey City. God gave us grace in that because I never wanted to live in a city. But he totally flipped me upside down and gave me a love for this city. And that's what he does when we say yes to him. When we say, yes, I'll follow you, Lord, wherever you take me. The world becomes much bigger than we expect, and life becomes a true adventure. The last 20-some-odd years here have been an adventure. And I've learned a lot. I never would have grown into who I am today had I not made that decision to follow him here. The follow me moments of life are less about where we are going or what we are doing and more about who we are becoming. I became a different person when I stepped foot into this church and took on what the Lord had given us. When we think about what Andrew and Simon and James and John did in the natural, it seems really crazy. They immediately laid down their normal life and went down an unknown path. They left behind their old father, which to me represented all the old traditions and things they believed, because they were raised in the temple. And Jesus was coming to bring a new message, a new plan, a new way of salvation, freedom from religion. So when they walked away from Zebedee, they were walking away from all that old tradition and stepping into something they had no idea of what it would do. And I would say to you that these moments of follow me are not once in a lifetime. There are many of them. Sometimes they're huge and they impact everyone in your life. And sometimes they're a little smaller, like bringing that casserole to a neighbor in need when you don't even know they're in need. Follow me is the ongoing call of Jesus to every single one of us. But every one of these moments have a common thread. They ask us to let go of what we're holding on to in our heads, our thoughts, all the things that we think are important. They ask us to let go and leave behind something. We have to leave something behind. Sometimes it's just our pride in making that casserole and getting it to that neighbor. We have to leave that behind, our fear. But sometimes we have to leave behind people, loved ones, family, jobs, and then we have to walk in a new direction, just like they did. We will never get anywhere new unless we're willing to leave where we are. And we have been hearing, even in the message this morning about the burning bush, that God is bringing a new direction to us as a body. And it's going to look different for everyone, but there is something new about to happen. We can never hold on to anything different unless we're willing to drop what's already in our hands. If we're holding tight to what God had given us in the last season, he can't fill our hands with what he has for this season. It's just like the wineskin. If we're walking around carrying the old wine, we'll never get the new wine. And we want to have the new wine. We want our oil tanks filled to overflowing. What does that mean? That means we have to let go of our nets, get out of our boats, and walk away from old man Zebedee. What are the nets in your life? All those things that entangle you, the things that capture and imprison you in your mind, that you can't think bigger than what you're in right now. What are all those little boats that contain your life and keep it small? We think we're secure and stable because this is the way we live and this is the only way we're ever going to live because I'm happy here and I'm secure here. I'm going to tell you that we're not secure unless we're in Him and following after Him. The old things that are overly familiar and comfortable keep us moving in the same old direction. They don't bring us any place new. Who is old man Zebedee in your life? The old thoughts, the traditions, what are you trying to live up to that maybe God's not calling you to do, but you're doing it because that's what you believe is what God wants or what the tradition is or what the generational expectation is? I can't get away from how this scripture tells us how they didn't even ask a question, but they got up and go. I would say that God has been gracious to me and that He has given me confirmations after confirmations whenever He's called me to do something life-changing. And we've put fleeces out and He meets every single one. But these guys didn't even have an opportunity to do that. He's like, right now, follow me immediately, let's go. And they got up and went. I mean, it just, when you think about it, just rocks me. We don't always have all the answers. We don't definitely don't have the whole plan, but we know we have to go. And the question becomes, will we follow Him? Will we drop our nets? The things that hinder us, the things we're caught up in. Will we get out of our boats, our comfortable places? And will we leave the traditions? The promise of Christ is that if we're willing to do that, we will step into the kingdom, into the fullness of life, and into who God created us to be. And that's one of the most important things to me. I want to live out everything that God has created me to do. And I don't know what that is, and I don't fully understand what He does. But I know that John and I have always asked the Lord, where will you have us? What should we be doing? How should we handle things? And He's always met us. You know, when we dream with God like David's been talking about, it creates these follow me opportunities. You know, we have to be in position to allow God to show us the follow me opportunities. Because if we have this wall up like, sorry, this is just how it's going to be, and our hearts are not open to it, then we don't see many of those opportunities. If our position is, Lord, I'll go wherever you lead, we sing it here often. He will take us to places we never dreamed we would go. You know, I have Ellie, John Michael's little girl. She's 15 months now, and we had her last night, and I'm just watching her as she's toddling now around and taking a lot of risks. You know, she takes a risk and she's climbing and going under things and she's not afraid. She always wants to try, but then something happens and she'll tumble, fall. She got a terrible black eye a few weeks ago because she was taking a risk. Like, I'm going to go. Like, I'm going. And, you know, that's a great, we need to follow after that. We need to say, I'm going. No matter what the risk, I'm going. And that's her intent, you know, and she's learning to walk and climb and run and trust. She's learning to trust that if she falls down, Daddy's gonna come and pick her up. She's learning to trust that if something bad happens, someone's gonna be there for her. And that's how God wants us to be with him. He wants us to take risks. He wants us to run with him and not worry if we fail or we fall or we tumble, because our daddy is always there to pick us up, put us back on track, and realign us. Otherwise, we could sit down, do nothing, and wait for the Lord to return. But we here at Urban Mission know that's not what we're called to. In order for us to grow spiritually, we need to take risks. We may fall, we may get angry, we may cry, we may get frustrated, but God experienced all of that. Jesus came to earth and experienced every emotion we have. We think it's bad. It's not bad, it's okay, but we just got to give it over to him and not wallow in it. Because he will come and he will pick you up and he'll turn you around and put you back on track. We think about Abraham, another example of a man called out, not knowing where he was going. But Abraham, at least James and John and the disciples, they didn't have their whole family in tow with all their servants and cattle and everything. And Abraham leaves with all these people to somewhere he had no idea where he was going. You got to think of the pressure on that poor man. And he was not perfect. We read his story. He screwed up. He lied. It was terrible. He was not like the perfect man, just like us. Like we excuse ourselves because we're not perfect, so we can't do what God said because we're not perfect. Well, Abraham wasn't perfect, but yet God called him a faithful man after God's heart and blessed him immeasurably. Because he said, I'll go wherever you lead. I will follow you, Lord. Even out into the unknown with my whole family and everything, everyone I know. I think about that sometimes. It's just crazy. I would not do that. I don't think. God honors our yes. Oh, you're right. I would do that, Lord. God honors our yes. He covers us. He aligns us. He lays out the plan as we step forward in faith. I will tell you that God is moving in a way I've never seen in my lifetime, and I'm sure that you would all say the same. And we're watching him shift people into positions to prepare for what's yet to come. For some of us, that shift may upset our normal, because God loves to upset our routine. No one, none of us, can say that following after God is not an adventure. So I want to just let everyone know here, this is a short message today, but I want to let you all know that God is about to upset John and I. And he's upsetting our normal, and he is stretching us in ways we have never been stretched before. But we know from experience that he has a greater plan than we can think or imagine, and John and I just need to follow after him. So we are about to move. We are moving at the beginning of the year to South Carolina. God has been calling us for a while. It's a little earlier than we expected, because you know how God just shows up in a moment and shifts all your plans. So this has been a true 180 for us. And at a time when I would say totally unexpected, because things are good. So, but God doesn't show up when things are bad and say, move on. He shows up when everything's great and he says, now's the time. So we will be back a lot. Our plan is to be back because our kids are here. We are leaving a lot. It's a big thing for us. And it was a tough decision, but we got the confirmation of the Lord repeatedly. And we have the support of our leaders, and we have the support of many of our pastoral friends. So we are excited, but it is extremely hard and sad at the same time. And we are mourning the familiar, but we are excited about stepping into the new. And we're trusting God to just guide us through this season of our life. So we are believing that God will transition this and us into a new place. You know, nothing's ever simple, and but that doesn't mean it's not God. So we have learned over the years that just because it's hard, and just because sometimes there are some difficult, complicated seasons, that it still is God. He doesn't say he's going to take you out of that. He says he'll carry you through it. And we have a testimony, a lifetime of testimony, to say that he has done that. And so we cannot not follow him into this next adventure. We are believing that our family will someday follow us there. Or we're just trusting in him. So we will see you. We will come back and visit often because our grandbabies are here. So you will see us. We will be moving on, even though it's hard. So I don't know, John, if you have something you want to share. No? No? Good. Okay. All right. So I'm going to end here because I know I shocked Dawn. And we just want to bless you all. And we are here till the end of the year, so we're not leaving this week. I just wanted to let you all know now. Okay? All right. So why don't we pray? Lord, we thank you, Lord, in this season of the new. We thank you, Lord, for the new chapters you are writing in many lives, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you have called us to follow after you wherever you lead us, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the peace that you're putting in our hearts to do this, Lord. And I speak that peace over everyone here, Lord, that not just for their follow me moment, Lord, but also for this follow me moment, Lord, because we understand that it affects many lives, Lord. And we know that when you call us to do something, you make a way for everyone in the situation. So we thank you, Lord, for that. And we just thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose for Urban Mission, Lord. And we just declare that whatever you have purpose for this body, Lord, will be established in this place. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you know the future, Lord. We just know the moment. So we thank you, Lord, that we could step out in faith in the moment, knowing you hold us in the palm of your hands, Lord, and that you are leading us and guiding us into our future adventure with you, Lord. And I speak that over everyone here today, oh God. We just thank you, Lord, that you have an adventure waiting for each one of us. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.